Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Hi, welcome back. All right, so what to do when markets gyrate? Scary thing when we see the market going through kind of what looks like a roller coaster where they hang you upside down and they've got you strapped in. Well, there are some things to know and be prepared for. I guess the things to understand about how the market operates so that when it happens, you're prepared. And so the first thing to understand is there are some inherent aspects to the market that really are always there. And so here are some of them, and I'll give you some tips on maybe how to prepare yourself for when the market goes through what is a normal correction or pullback. So that's really the first thing to know, is that market corrections, pullbacks, bear markets, these things are not unusual. In fact, I'll give you a statistic. Well, first, let me talk about pullback. Remember, is a 5% drop from a previous high. A correction is a 10% reduction from a previous high. And of course, the bear is 20. So 5, 10, 20. So a 20% drop from a previous market high. If the Dow is at 18,000 points and it falls 3,600 points, that would be considered a bear market. Okay, so what is notable or exceptional, or what is a big deal here about these events? Well, the big deal is that they're actually normal and they're frequent. It's easy to forget when the market's doing well that we've had, ready for this statistic? This is amazing to me. Since 1950, the last 65 years through the end of 2015, every other calendar year, so half of the calendar years, it's not every other one exactly, but at least half of them, have within that year a 10% pullback, a correction. So the fact that we experience a 10% fallback, pull down, any of those terms, the way people sometimes describe it in the media, of course, they like to use even more exaggerated terms of, you know, the world's falling apart because the market fell 10% from a previous high. They didn't talk about how incredible. In other words, they don't use the same exaggerations when they talk about it going up. They talk, of course, that way when it's going down because bad news sells. So keep that in mind. But what's exceptional is, or rare, isn't the correction. It is a long, sustained bull market. Those are what are rare. So if we have 5, 6, 7, 8 years without a 10% correction, that is what is really unusual. All right. So that's number one, just to bear in mind as these markets gyrate, which they will and they do. Next is that stock markets are inherently unpredictable. It's very difficult to say what the market's going to do the next 6 months, next 3 months, the next 2 days. It's kind of funny. Sometimes to me, the market seems to act almost with a vengeance. Let's say you've been watching the market and you're like, okay, that's it. I got to get out. And the day you get out, the very next day it goes up 5%. And you go, how can my luck be that bad? And it's like, well, golly, the market hates me. I mean, we get those feelings. And the reality is that it's difficult to predict. And there is a lot of randomness and, you know, difficult to ascribe behavior. I'll put it that way. And a lot of times you'll have a market that through the course of a day, it wanders all over the place. It's up 50 points or up 200 points. It's down 200 down. And then by the end of the day, it's down, say, 40 points. Well, 40 points on the Dow, where the Dow is today, is nothing. And then the media, because they've got to fill time, right? They have to fill time and they have to have an answer. They will find something in the news to say, Dow slid today because of there was a little melting in the polar ice caps, or we don't know. I mean, that's the truth. So it's just it just works out that way. But the unpredictable part, it should be no surprise that things like commodities are going to fluctuate based on supply and demand. A wonderful, relevant example is oil. Okay, oil prices have fallen significantly. We saw oil prices at $150 a barrel right at the beginning, before we really had our nasty recession, the Great Recession back in 2008. And gas was at what, $5 a gallon? So there have been times we paid a lot for oil, and then of course there's times we pay a lot less. Recent oil prices at the time I'm doing this program are in the $30 a barrel range. Do the math. That's 20% of the cost of what it was back in 2007, 2008. Wow. So there's a lot of fluctuation potential. Now, of course, those falling oil prices are wonderful for the consumer because it does translate to a lower gas price, but it also affects oil stocks and energy stocks, and of course, that affects people's wallets in another way. And the economic benefit that is felt by consumers takes a while to work its way through the economy. You know, $1.70 or $1.50 for a gallon of gas has an incredible economic benefit on our country. But on the other hand, falling oil prices have hurt stocks. So that is immediate, and we see it right away. It takes a while for that benefit to work its way through. But the point is to be mindful of these things. And when you look at these things that are uncertain, when you look at things that can go up and down in value, the real lesson there is not to go all in on any one thing. You don't want to put yourself in that position. And you say, well, hey, look, oil is at $30 a barrel. Good Lord, it could go up to $150. I'm just going to go in all in on that. Well, a $30 barrel of oil could go to $15 before it goes to $150. So be real careful going all in. And, you know, back to the nature of the markets real quick, also on the behavior of the corrections. The other point is don't put all your money in the market, the money you might need for income. And then the third thing I want to get to here is the risk of loss is inherent. It's part of, to use a little bit of a cliche that I hear today in marketing and in different circles, it's in our DNA. That's one of the latest buzzwords. Well, you know, the truck, it's in its DNA to be rugged and strong. Okay, we get it. Okay. You want us to know that it's inherent as part of what makes up this product or vehicle, whatever it is. Well, in the DNA of the stock market is an inherent risk of loss. And I've got a great analogy for you that I'm very proud of. I really like this. The stock market is no lady. There's a short story of the lady and the tiger. And if you haven't ever read that, go find it. But the stock market is no lady. It's a tiger. Now, if you are feeding that tiger through a cage with your big hunks of meat, it's going to purr and love you and lick your hand if you let it and just smile at you and just be wonderful. But if that tiger is ever uncaged, like a 47% drop from 2000 to 2002 in the market, yeah, it wasn't that long ago, okay? 15 years ago, we had a three-year downturn of 47%. That's like the stock market uncaged. That's like the tiger getting out. And maybe it's not so nice. Maybe you are its prey if it escapes. So the real question there is, could you stomach a three-year drop? Could you afford to only get 50 cents back on the dollar? So the lesson, the tip, is don't invest money in the market that you're going to need for income or that you're going to need to draw out as a lump sum within a short period of time. You need to let that money work and work for you. And I'm a big fan, of course, of planning this all out so you know where you're going to get your income and not be forced to take money when the market's down, doing what it normally does, a correction. All right? Do those things, and you know what I'm going to say? That'll help you plan stronger.
Hello, I'm Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery. Cremation is a choice that is chosen by many today. Our caring professionals will gladly work with you to plan cremation services and memorializations that fulfill your wishes and honor the life lived. At Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, we offer a wide variety of options, from urns for burial to many other choices. There are many ways to honor your loved one following a cremation. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, President and Managing Partner of Rice & Rose. The Rice & Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or healthcare surrogate. Contact the Rice & Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation.
Hi, welcome back. Well, there's a part two to what to do or what to know about when stock markets gyrate. And this one is more about your relationship with a financial advisor if you're working with one. Now, nobody needs extra stress when the market is doing what the market does do sometimes, as we've talked about. Don't need the extra stress of a misunderstanding with your financial advisor. What you expect them to do may be very different than what they do. And their investment approach may actually be a lot different than what you expect. You know, there needs to be more of a conversation than, hey, here's my money, make it grow. Okay? So the first thing to know is that, you want to know these things before something happens. Don't wait until you're in the middle of a stock market pullback, correction, or bear market to say, hey, let's talk about our investment strategy. Know that when you're hiring your advisor, and if you already got an advisor and you aren't really clear on their investment approach, stop, pause, take a break, schedule a time, talk to your advisor and say, can you walk me through that process? Because when the you know what hits the fan, we do not need to be trying to change the wheels on the car while we're on the track. We need to be mindful of how this is going to be done so that you don't have that extra stress, because we're in the moment of the market being in a bad spot. That's not the time to figure that out. And I'm thinking of another analogy for you, which is a doctor. You know, the time to find out what type of doctor you have or what type of general procedures or things that they do is not when you have an acute situation. You know, that would just be a mismatch, and we want to avoid that. So let's start with some questions. And it's really basic. Either before you hire somebody, or even if you've already hired them, I don't care if you've worked with them for 10 years. If you don't know their investment approach, you need to ask questions like this. Here they are. What are the types of investments that will be purchased in my account? How long will they be held? Are they going to hold them for a long time? Set it and forget it, buy and hold, or are they going to be trading every other day? What about the review process? How often will your investments be reviewed? When you call to say, hey, how am I doing? Oh, hold on. I was just looking at your account. Oh, yeah, or is it more proactive than that? Do they look at what you've got going on and then be proactive about recommendations to you? Do they have discretion to manage your money? Can they make those changes on your own? Or do you have to carry your cell phone when you're on the cruise ship? You need to understand that. How often will the overall portfolio be analyzed? This is really important. With the market's volatility, you could have your portfolio get out of whack significantly. And I have a lot of clients I've worked with over the years, and some I haven't, you know, where I've maybe made recommendations that have decided to stay where they were. And some of those sometimes I remember maybe with, I guess, a better clarity, because I'm like, golly, I wonder whatever happened to that person. Not long ago, a couple of years ago, I had somebody come in and I did an analysis, and they had 37%. See there, I remember that. 37% of their money in energy stocks. I wonder how they're faring with oil going from what was probably at the time $80 a barrel to $30 a barrel. So you need to know what you've got and how often is it going to be analyzed. So important to know where your money's invested, how much is in different types of investment categories. I had another gentleman come in the other day who is going to do business with us, and he thought his portfolio was down because of oil. And I said, well, let's take a look. We analyze it. Guess what? He's got 3% of his money in energy stocks. That's not the problem. But he had 25% of his money was in Asian stocks between Japan and China. That's where the problem was. All right. So how often are trades placed? How often will they be making changes on your account? What will the trades cost? Are they a broker that's charging you a commission on every trade? Or is it a discount brokerage arrangement? Are the trade... can you sell an unlimited amount of whatever it is for $8 a trade? Know what the costs are going to be. And of course, as I always recommend, how is the advisor paid? All of these things you need to know before you even crack the shell to start talking about what will you do if the market goes down? How will we react? So all of that needs to come first before you start saying, well, what are we going to do when the market does these goes through these cycles? And the truth is, different advisors are going to respond in different ways under different scenarios. Let me repeat that. Different advisors are going to respond in different ways under different conditions. Advisors do not all work the same. So you need to understand what you should expect from the advisor. What will they do, and or what will they do differently if the market falls? Some advisors are a buy and hold. Some are darn near day traders. Some are somewhere in between. So what kind of advisor do you have? If you don't know, ask. It's okay to ask. You know, gosh, I don't remember. Can you tell me how you go about doing this? No good advisor, quality, professional, above board, is going to be put out or offended by somebody asking them, just to help them remind them and explain to them how the advisor does what they do. And if you've got a specific concern, like corrections, inflation, interest rate changes, tax management, a run on the bank, political upheaval, nationalizing of something in our economy, Social Security, if you've got specific questions, ask about those and how you are positioned to respond and to mitigate the downside of those events. Ask how resilient your portfolio is. Ask how strong it will be in the face of some of these things. And if you think you have a particular type of portfolio and you aren't convinced that the advisor, I mean, if you got just, there's like a little bit of something nagging at you and you're not convinced the advisor has you in the right things, you're not comfortable, get a second opinion. I had somebody come in the other day that the advisor says you've got a conservative portfolio. I looked at it. I didn't even have to analyze. I just looked at the statement. Wrong. They had 37% of their money in the top five stocks in their portfolio. There's no way that's conservative. You see, I'm sounding a little worked up here, but that bothers me because you need to know what's in the portfolio, and that it's the advisor's responsibility to make sure that that matches up with what you have. Now, here's my favorite question of all. What will you do if the market falls significantly? At what point will you go to cash? At what point will you put in stop losses? At what point will you do this? At what point? People should want to know what you're going to do. And what's ironic about that question is, should the advisor's approach be different under different conditions? Now, I'll answer that question with an example from what I do in my office and how we manage money. Our job and our actions and our task and the things that we do, the procedures we take to manage client money, ready for this, are identical, whether the portfolio is up 10% or down 10%. In other words, the job's the same. I'm not going to all of a sudden say, oh, let's go to cash because the market's down a few points or it's off 5 or 6%. And then what does the market do? Jumps back up. Oh, wait, the bus is leaving. The train's going down the tracks. I meant to jump on. Well, that's very difficult to do. Try to time it. So be clear about these things. Know what it's like before we go into a market correction. And if you do that, guess what? You'll plan stronger.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help your family reach their health and fitness goals. Kids who play sports at the Y learn more than just the game. The programs provide positive, fun activities that build athletic, social, and interpersonal skills, which lead to better behavior, healthier lifestyles, and even improved academic achievement. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and wellness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Hi, this is Steve Tassinelli, and I'm a CPA with Holland Tax and Accounting Services. Our tax team holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years at Holland Financial. We have the expertise to help you manage your financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you're an individual or a business, you can rely on Holland Tax for personalized service and attention to detail. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free. That's 386-671-7526.
All right, welcome back. And you know, the market's going to continue to gyrate. So yes, there is a part 3 to my discussion about markets gyrating and what to do. All right, so let's turn our attention to what is just a great concept, and I don't get credit for creating this. In fact, I'll give credit right up front. I ran across this article on LinkedIn. This is a business social media site. Dr. Daniel Crosby is an economist, behavioral finance, psychologist guy, and he framed the question about the markets gyrating and how we respond to it beautifully. I love it. So I'm going to share it with you and I'll expand on it. So I'm going to share kind of the major theme with you, and then I'll give you my take on it. And the question or the focus is, what when it comes to investing, what can you control and what can't you control? Now, I found a wonderful phrase from the Dalai Lama, number 14, and it's a great quote. I'll read it to you. If a problem is fixable, if a situation is such that you can do something about it, then there is no need to worry. If it's not fixable, then there's no help in worrying. There is no benefit in worrying whatsoever. Well, thank you, Dalai Lama. That, of course, could apply to all parts of our life. Sometimes difficult to apply and practice, right? I mean, that's the things that we worry and we roll around in our minds. If we could get to that, then maybe we can experience a state of nirvana. Very difficult, but it's something to bear in mind, especially with our investments. So let's talk about extracting from Dr. Crosby's framing of this question, the things we can control and the things we can't. And so we'll start with what we can't control. You ready for this? What is the biggest thing we all worry about when it comes to our investments? Returns. What are we going to make or not lose? Guess what we can't control? Returns. We cannot control unless you put your money into a fixed account, something that has a fixed rate of interest. Not many choices for that. A CD, a fixed annuity with a fixed rate of return. What else? Oh, that's it. I'm out. Bonds? Well, yeah, but the issuer has to be there, and if you happen to sell it before maturity, you'll get less than what you paid for it, so there's a devaluation risk, which ultimately means you're not getting the interest you think you got. So there are very few choices for a fixed return. So unless you choose one of those, there is no way to control return. Oh, well, David, you know, I had somebody tell me the other day that I can get a great secured investment, make a guarantee of 7%, blah, 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 blah. I'll guarantee you that if we dig down and look at that, whatever it is, the return is subject to fluctuation. It's based on whether or not the company can pay you. It might be some sort of high yield, high risk bond or senior secured debt or something else that's got variability. So unless you are going something very, very, very conservative and fixed in nature, like the CD or the fixed annuity, returns will vary. A lot of times I use the analogy of a boat with sails, a sailboat. And if we've got a great boat, wonderful, big, fat sails. It's just gorgeous. The best crew. Everything is just wonderful. Calm seas. It's not going nowhere unless you've got some wind. And that's the market. The best portfolios, if they are based on the market, I got to have wind. So we can't control those returns. Now, with that said, what are the things that we can control? What are the things that are fixable or adjustable or that we can exercise control over, therefore we shouldn't worry about it. All right, here they are. Risk is one, cost, time, and emotion. Those are the big four that you can control. Risk. Risk is directly linked to how aggressive you are. The more money you put in the market, the more risk. The less risk. So we can have a direct control over that. Now, if we need money from our portfolio, we don't put it at risk. Cash. We need $2,000 a month. That shouldn't be coming from the stock market, okay, unless you're able to get enough from dividends. It needs to be coming from something more secure. If you know you're going to need that money in a year, why in the world would you put that into the market or leave it in the market for that 1 year period? If you have cash, you're not going to go put it in the market for 1 year and say, all right, I'm going to throw it in the market, make some money, and I'll need to take that 100 and go do something else with it because I've got a plan for that. That doesn't work. That's very risky. What else? Cost. Costs are a huge thing you can control. The average mutual fund, for example, costs 1.5% per year according to Lipper. Okay? With some careful selection, maybe you hire somebody to help you do this, or you can do your research yourself. Careful selection, you can get that down 0.5%, I would argue. 1% savings, $100,000 portfolio, 10 years, that's what? $10,000. You can control costs. And of course, requiring, expecting, demanding all costs, fees, compensation, all that stuff be disclosed to you in writing by anybody you're working with as an advisor. That'll help you also keep control on cost. All right, what else? Time. You have control over how much time before you take money out of the market or out of any investment. Well, what do you mean? What if I need the money? What if I have an emergency? Well, that's what an emergency fund is for. Now, I generally recommend 5% or so of your investable assets be put in an emergency fund. So if you've got $500,000, I'm going to say, well, you know what? A $25,000 emergency fund probably is a good idea. Now, everybody's situation is a little different. That might increase that or decrease that. But the point is, if you have emergency funds, if you've got other things kind of organized, if you've got your insurances, if you've got these things in place, you should be in control of when you take money out of the market, not having to sell at an inopportune time to meet an unexpected situation. Now, there are, of course, going to always be potential extreme scenarios, but this is what planning's all about. What else can we control? The last but not least, emotions. Well, what do you mean, David? I mean, gosh, I'm human. If something happens, I'm going to be emotional. Yes, but this is why we build a financial plan. You put all these things together and you have a plan, a framework for your decision-making. And you can say, okay, the market's down 10%. I'm thinking of getting out. Let's open up the plan. Let's take a look. Well, remember, you've only got 30% of your money in the market. You've got some cash emergency money. You've got money in a fixed account that's giving you income. You've got your long-term care. You've got your equity in your home as a backup. You see, and we've got income coming in. We're good. So is there a reason to panic and get all of our money out of the market when it's doing what it does about every other year, has a 10% correction? Why are we taking the money out of the market? There's not a good reason. Now, it doesn't mean you ignore what you have. Maybe there's something unusual about your portfolio. Maybe there's something about the investments. Maybe you've got poor performing funds. I had someone come to me not long ago, and they had all their money was in precious metals and gold mining stocks and all these things, and they had been just lagging the market. So they didn't know, they didn't understand. So if you're not sure, get a double check. But I can tell you that in over 20 years of doing financial work, I've never seen a knee-jerk reaction to the market serve anybody well. Get a plan, and guess what? That'll help you plan stronger.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.